Misfits Audio Productions presents Restored Old Time Radio. We claim no rights to it. This is released free for entertainment purposes only, to restore interest in the golden days of radio. Thank you to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com for intro music. Remember to visit misfitsaudio.com.
Blast off minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0!
As roaring rockets blast off to distant planets and far-flung stars, we take you to the age of the conquest of space with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. As the sun blazes fiercely in a sky blacker than the blackest midnight of Earth, and countless brilliant stars gleam on every side, Space Cadets Tom Corbett, Roger Manning, and Astro blast through the void in the rocket cruiser Polaris. They are about to begin a week's leave on the shining planet that already looms in the distance, Astro's home world, Venus.
It won't be long now, Astro. We should be landing in an hour.
Oh, that's swell, Tom. I can hardly wait to get home and see the family again.
I'll bet.
After I say hello to Astro's family, I have some unfinished business.
Yeah, we know. That girl in Venusport.
Mm-hmm. The Venus of Venus. You know, Astro, I can't figure out how the same planet can produce a gal like Gloria and an ape like you.
Look, Hotshot, one more blast of your jet gas and I'll throw you right out into space just to see if you could make Venus under your own power.
Venusport calling rocket cruiser Polaris. Venusport to Polaris.
Hold it a minute, fellas.
Come in, Polaris.
Polaris to Venusport. Cadet Pilot Corbett here. Go ahead.
This is Lieutenant Commander Burke of the Solar Guard. Sorry we didn't catch you while you were further out. Afraid I have a little bad news. Your leave will have to be delayed while you cut over to Mercury.
Leave canceled?
What's the idea?
Oh,
unfortunately, no. The Polaris is the only official ship available to look into a serious situation.
Well, what is it, sir? What's up?
Well, two teams of government scientists have been operating diggers on Mercury's hot side recently in a top-secret project. Had you heard anything about it?
We knew they were there, sir, that's all.
Well, their radio operator has kept in constant touch with us from their Twilight Zone base, but a few hours ago, he apparently attempted to call, and the transmitter suddenly went dead. Normally, any break should be repaired by now, so it looks as if they're in serious trouble. Clear so far?
Yes, sir. What are our orders?
You're to proceed to Mercury at once, investigate, and report to us by radio, but use extreme caution, or you may be in danger yourselves. Authorities here suspect an outbreak of zero-A fever.
Zero-A fever?
What's that?
I've heard of it, sir. Zero-A means zero atmosphere. Space pioneers used to get it on airless planets, but I thought it had been wiped out.
Well, it can't be cured like a disease. This is psychosis. Insanity, like the cabin fever of ancient days that affected small groups cooped up in cramped, isolated quarters. But in zero-A, there's the additional strain of existing in spacesuits or small pressurized bases on a hostile world.
Sir, what happens when a man goes zero-A?
Well, he becomes insane, has hallucinations. Usually goes berserk, smashing, killing. Extremely dangerous to his companions and to himself.
Great Jupiter, a maniac in a spot like that.
We'll get there as fast as we can, sir.
That fever isn't catching, is it?
Oh, you bubblehead. How could it be?
Just a moment. Matter of fact, Zero A may be catching in a sense.
But, sir, if it's mental...
Well, we speak of the yawn being catching. That's mental, too. In the case of Zero A, everybody's under the same strain. They're all potential victims. So when one goes, all may go. You understand?
Yes, sir, I certainly do.
Then you also understand why I'm ordering you to be very, very careful. All right. That's it. Blast off for Mercury and spaceman's luck.
Swinging around its orbit like a ball on a string, Mercury keeps the same face forever turned toward the sun. On one side, it is always glaring day, blazing with a surface temperature of 450 degrees. On the other side, always night. Dark and cold as space itself. Only in the narrow band between, the twilight zone, can men establish temporary camps on this airless and unfriendly planet. Now, as the Polaris speeds over the bright side toward the silent twilight zone base, the cadets stare down at the burning land beneath them.
How would you like to have to work down there, Astro?
In that blast furnace? Not me, Tom. I don't see how those scientists do it.
Well, they have mechanical mold.
They're diggers. Big, powerful machines developed for just this sort of setup. They were first used on the moon.
They're built something like you, Astro. Big and clumsy.
All right, wise guy.
Matter of fact, the diggers aren't so clumsy. Except when they fly.
Fly? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do at that.
It doesn't seem possible.
Well, they're no dreamboats. But they are jet-equipped for short flights under low-gravity conditions. And a rough landing doesn't damage them or the people in them.
And they can work on a place like this, huh?
Not on it, you Venusian clunk. Under it.
He means beneath the surface, Astro. They dig underground and burrow there like moles, protected from the worst of the heat. They can gather tons of rock samples or usable ore that way.
Hey, I wonder what they're looking for here.
Well, no one knows. This seems to be a real hush-hush deal.
Hey, fellas, look down there.
Oh, too late.
What was it?
I'm not sure, Tom, but I thought I saw something landing on the surface.
A digger?
Well, not from your description.
Well, what then, a spaceship?
No, no, it wasn't big enough for that, or even a jet boat. It looked like a man in a spacesuit with body jets.
A man with body jets?
It must have been your imagination, Astro. Why, even the Polaris couldn't protect us from the heat for long if we were down there. Okay, guys, get to your stations. We're entering the twilight zone. Now we've got to locate the base, fast, and find out what's happened here.
Here's the base. Come on.
Huh. Not much more than a good-sized hut.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be stuck in a place like this for long.
Now be careful now. We don't know what we're getting into. It may be all right, but... Uh-oh.
What's the matter? Look at the hatches in the pressure compartment.
Great galaxy. Both of them open. That means there's no air inside.
That's bad, fellas. Come on, but watch your step. Lazy comet. What a mess.
Wow, it sure is.
No wonder the transmitter went dead. Smashed a bit.
Everything's smashed. The whole place is wrecked. As though a maniac had been loose.
Yeah. Well, anyway, nobody's here now.
Well, that's all right with me. I wouldn't like to... What are you staring at, Tom?
Someone is here. Look. Over by the bulkhead.
A man. And Tom, he's dead.
Gosh. Well, this man must have been the base operator. He probably kept a log. If we can find it, it might help.
There's some stuff over here in the corner.
Now, let's see. Yes, yes, here it is.
Anything in it?
Apparently, there were only five men on this project. The dead operator, Adams, and four scientists, divided into two teams.
What does it say about today?
That's what I'm looking for. Now, here it is. Teams started out in diggers at 0800, and Adams made his regular report to Venus. At 8:30, both teams called in to say they were okay. 8:49, Team A said it was moving. Landed a few minutes later and... Hey, listen to this. They started yelling something about giant men.
Giant men?
Uh-huh. Then more shouting and noise, and that was all.
Zero wave fever. That proves it.
That's what Adams and the other team figured, too. Now, let's see. Team B flew to help. Landed at 9:01. And apparently, Adams didn't hear any more from them.
But what happened to Adams?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to know.
Here it is. At 9:15, he wrote that he was going to call Venus unless somebody reported in soon. But then he heard a signal at the outside hatch.
Yeah, and then what?
That's the last entry he made. Evidently, he opened the hatch and... Well, you saw him.
One of the guys on Team A must have gone zero away all of a sudden.
Or maybe both of them.
Yes, and there's no telling what happened to them or the other team. Or where they are now. Let's see. The log says they landed on Sector T-34. There should be a map somewhere.
Oh, right there in the bulkhead behind you.
Oh, yes. T-34. Right. Here it is. Now, that's where they were. Somebody was here after that. Wait a minute. Astro, wasn't it around there you thought you saw a man land on the surface?
Yeah, just about there.
We'd better get up to that sector in a hurry. There may still be something we can do.
Wait a minute. The Polaris is really too fast and big for a job like this.
Sure it is. We'll use the jet boat. Come on.
This sector T-34 looks so small on the map, you'd think we could have covered it by now.
We probably could if I didn't have to maneuver this jet boat all over the place to be sure we look into all these mountains and valleys.
Well, while we're practically looking under every rock here, the guys we're looking for may be dying somewhere else.
What else can we do, Roger?
We can't do anything else, but they ought to send more men out from Venus.
How can they? You heard what Commander Burke told us when we called in. Most of their fleet out near Neptune and their last cruiser laid up for repair.
Well, he admitted they still have a destroyer left.
But he has to keep at least one ship on planetary duty. You know that. It's regulation.
Regulations. Why don't you and Burke both go blow your jets? Who cares about...
Look down there.
in that sort of canyon below us.
Where? Oh, yeah. Well, that must be one of the diggers, huh?
That's what it is, all right.
I'll circle down and get closer.
Say, there's the other digger. But it's turned over on its back. Why, that's almost impossible, the way those things hug the ground.
And they weigh 20 tons. You'd think it would take an earthquake.
Maybe it was an earthquake.
Maybe, but an earthquake didn't call Adams to be killed or dream up the idea about giant men.
Uh-uh. They're two of the guys we've been looking for. We're too late to help them.
What do you mean? Where are they?
Lying on the ground right near that overturned digger, almost hidden by
them. Yes, I see. Two men in spacesuits.
Dead?
How could they be alive at that temperature?
Yes, they're dead, Astro. But that still leaves two unaccounted for.
There they are. But one of them's alive. He's carrying the body of the other one.
It's impossible.
Well, look there, near the cliff. Only something's wrong. The one that's being carried is so small.
Great galaxy, no, Astro. The body is normal size like the others. But the live one is huge. He must be at least 10 feet tall.
Blazing comets, a giant man. Then those scientists didn't have 0A fever after all.
Unless maybe we've got it, too.
I'm going down for a closer look.
All right, but don't get too close, will you? He may try to get us, too.
Probably. But we should be safe in this jet boat.
Yeah, and the other guy should have been safe in diggers.
Hey, you can see now he's not just big. He's built all wrong. Even in a spacesuit, a man doesn't look like that.
No, the legs and his arms. Well, look, he has extra arms.
With metal claws on them. Oh, brother, tell me I'm just having a nightmare.
I wish we were. Fellas, did you see that? Well, it turned its head in a complete circle.
Back this way. I think it sees us.
With what? It has no face. It's just a blank surface behind a sort of faceplate.
I'm upping the man's body.
And it's blasting off. Flying. Straight for us.
Tom, get out of here and hurry. That thing fast as a rocket ship.
Hang on, I'm pouring on. Roger. You get on that radio to Venus. Tell them we need help. In a hurry.
Manning, for heaven's sake, snap out of it. You realize what you're saying?
I sure do, Commander Burke, and it's true.
A giant over 10 feet tall, unharmed by 450-degree temperature, capable of damaging a jet boat?
Sir, he could ruin the jet boat. We wouldn't have a chance. We saw what he did to the diggers.
Manning, can't you understand that no human being could possibly fly as fast as a jet boat?
Human being? Whatever this thing is, sir, it sure isn't human.
Manning, what's become of the other members of your unit?
Why, they're here with me in the boat.
Are they? Then put one of them on.
Yes, sir. Here, Tom, talk to him, will you? This is Corbett, sir. Look, I know this is hard to believe back there on Venus, but we have to believe it. It has short legs, thick as tree trunks, no face, and... Tell him, Astro.
Six arms, sir. On a six. With things on them.
All right, you all agree. But the Polaris unit has a reputation for pulling tricks. Now, this is a joke. I promise you that you...
Great galaxy, sir, no. Please believe us, this is deadly serious.
Oh, very well. I'm sending you the help you need at once. End transmission. Lieutenant, did you hear that?
I certainly did, sir. Shall I order the destroyer to Mercury?
No, I'll commandeer a freighter. We need the destroyer for planetary duty.
But in a case like this, sir, the destroyer's armed and the freighter isn't. You said you'd send the help they needed.
Exactly. It's not weapons they need. It's medics.
Doctors? But that giant chasing...
Good heavens, Lieutenant. Don't tell me you believe that insane babble. It's obvious what's happened. Those cadets have gone 0A.
Twilight zone coming up. How are we doing?
Oh, we've gained a little. That thing is nearly 100 yards behind. Is that enough?
I don't know. It depends.
Hey, I spotted the Polaris. East to port. There, you're on the nose.
Right. I'm throwing on the forward jets for a fast stop. All the brakes we can stand. Brace yourselves, we're going down.
Tom, that monster is catching up fast now.
I know. We'll be landing in 2 minutes. Right by the ship, I hope. It'll be a rough landing.
Tom, look there. Another one of those things, driving out from behind the rock.
Great, Jupiter is cutting between us and the ship.
Right in our path. They've got us trapped.
We'll return to the exciting adventures of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, in just a moment. So, stand by. Spacemen, everybody laughs when they see Mr. Funny Man himself, Bob Hope. Bob Hope is known the world over for being a wonderful comedian. In Paramount Pictures, he's made millions of people laugh. And now you can get a picture of Bob Hope that's good for even more fun. That's right. One of the swell magic eyes you can find in boxes of Kellogg's Pep shows Bob Hope in action. Tilt the magic eye, and Bob Hope starts performing right before your very eyes. You see loads of other exciting pictures in the Magic Eye series, too. Planes fly through the clouds. Trains go smoking down the track. And many of your favorite stars of the movies and sports are ready to go into action as soon as you work the Magic Eye. You can get a swell collection together in no time. That's because every time you get a package of Kellogg's Pep, you get a Magic Eye right along with it free at no extra cost. You want a complete set of all 16 Magic Eyes, so don't delay. Start saving Magic Eyes today. If you get doubles, swap them with your friends. That way, you get a complete set even sooner. And remember, every time you get Kellogg's Pep, you get a Magic Eye, too. Don't forget the name of the swell-tasting whole wheat cereal that brings you a Magic Eye free at no extra cost in every package. Ask Mom for Kellogg's Pep. P-E-P.
In a jet boat rocketing through the airless sky of Mercury, pursued by a huge and powerful monster which is seeking to destroy them, Tom Corbett has strained every nerve to maintain the slight lead which means the difference between life and death to himself and his friends Roger Manning and Astro. But just as it seems they have a chance to reach the comparative safety of the Polaris, another of the giant creatures zooms suddenly into their path, and the cadets are trapped.
Great galaxy, Tom! Climb! Climb! It's our only chance!
I'm trying to, but I've cut speed for a landing, and it's tough to get her up.
Come on, Tom. You can do it. You've got to.
She's coming now. Come on. Get that nose up, baby.
That creature in front of us is climbing, too. It's going to meet us head on.
Hold tight. I'm swinging hard aboard.
Look out, Tom. The thing's making a pass at us.
It's got us. We're spinning.
It's all right. I still have control. We're okay for a second.
That was close, Tom. I didn't think you could do it.
I wasn't sure myself, Roger. Lucky that was only a glancing blow and it missed the jet.
If a glancing blow rocked us like that, a real crash will split us wide open.
Tom, here comes another one, diving from behind.
All right, we'll dive too.
He's following. He's getting close.
Look out, Tom, you're going to crash us.
Not quite. Now, up!
Jumping, Jupiter, Tom. I thought you were going right through the ground.
How about the monster that was after us? What happened to it?
It pulled out of the dive just before we did.
I hoped it would keep going and smash up. I can't keep away from both of them forever.
How can they see to maneuver like that? They have no eyes. Their faces are as blank as a radar screen.
Yes, a screen. A screen or a scanner. That's it. They aren't alive. They're robots.
Oh, machines?
Of course. That's why they can do things no human could do. They aren't space suits. They're just metal bodies.
I get it. They have scanners to send back a picture.
Send it back where?
To wherever their owners are sitting, out of danger, controlling them.
Oh, yeah. Now I see the antennas on their helmets.
Boy, if I can only find the frequency on our receiver.
Look, I got an idea.
So have I.
But we won't have a chance to try it. Here they come.
One on each side. What can you do, Tom?
Just hold my course and hope.
But they'll crush us between them. Tom, dodge.
Not yet.
They're closing in.
All right, now. Going down.
You squeezed through and the robots collided.
My trick worked. But they're not damaged. And one of them is bouncing back to us.
It's landed right on top of the jet boat.
Hey, I found one of the frequencies.
Who cares now? Tom, can you shake it off?
No, it's clamped on tight. The weight is sending us into a spin. I can't control the boat.
Keep fighting. I'm going to turn on the transmitter. No, it's the right one.
You've done it, Roger. The robot let go. We're okay.
It's drifting away down to the ground. What happened?
I jammed its control frequency with our transmitter. I can keep it out of action now.
Yeah, but what about the other one? It's coming for us again.
I can't handle that one, too.
Maybe I can. Hold your hats, fellas. I'm heading straight into it.
No, Tom, we can't stand a collision with that thing.
Don't talk. This is tricky.
It's suicide.
Show it, and hang on.
We're going to splash. Look out!
We did it!
Did what? You nearly killed us. We hit something on that robot.
Sure, the antenna. That's what I was aiming for.
You broke it off, Tom. The thing's going down, out of control.
Hey,
we're safe.
Nice going, Junior. We'd better land and put the antenna on the other one in case this transmitter gets weak.
Right. Then we'll get back to the Polaris.
Good. I'll sure be glad to get away from Mercury.
We can't leave, Astro. We'll have to stay here and guard the robots until help comes. Their owners might like to get them back, you know.
Stay here on this crummy planet? Aren't you afraid we'll all go zero A?
No, Roger. After what we've been through, even zero A fever would seem like a slight case of sunburn.
miss the next action-packed episode with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, when the boys again find themselves in terrible danger from the monstrous robots and their human masters. In part two of The Giant of Mercury. Tune in, same time, same station, for the next thrilling interplanetary adventure with Tom Corbett, Space Cadet. Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, starring Frankie Thomas, can also be seen on television and appears in the comic section of many of America's leading newspapers. Look for it daily and in weekend editions. Featured in the cast are Jan Merlin, Al Markham, and Vinton Hayworth. Today's program was written by Don Hughes, directed by Drex Hines. Jackson Beck speaking.